I'm for keeping those Christians on the straight and narrow. When it comes to resisting our campaigns, it takes their minds off the real issue. Whose soul is in danger? Does it concern me, or is it his business? Brother H, the devil uses peer pressure to get us off center. We simply come to the basic issue. We don't want to be different. Because you put different people in padded cells. Jezebel, you've heard about how effective our slogan turned out, everybody's doing it, everybody's doing what? Turkey trot. As if it mattered what everybody's doing. Or as if it mattered that everybody was doing it. Sister G, our relationship with others, both in the church and out of the church, are constantly tested by Satan. How we look upon and respond to those less fortunate. Don't have the right clothes, we don't have the right class, not as good a job as I have. Boy, that's one of my favorite ways of getting into a congregation. Is to getting them to compare themselves among themselves. And it won't be long till I can split the haves from the have-nots. I can split the smart from the dumb ones. I can split the rich from the poor. And they're all in my camp. We stand a good chance of not winning 50% for our side. But if skillfully conducted, we can't get the other 50%. To forget that their real standard of measure is the Christ, not one another. Their lack of wisdom, they'll bite and devour one another, and we can move in for the kill any time. They're ripe for the picking, aren't they? Brother I says, sometimes I think it's unfortunate that we have such fine clothes to wear to church. How many of you think you have fine clothes on right now? How many of you think you have fine clothes on? Don't you think my pink shirt's fine? It's about as old as I am, I think. How about your clothes? Anybody here who's in trouble with clothing? This brother says, sometimes I think it's unfortunate we have such fine clothes to wear at church, because a lot of people out there would feel more comfortable meeting if we weren't so dressed up. Have you ever had anybody say, I'd like to go to your church, but you've got clothes, I don't have those kind of clothes. Yep, we have, haven't we? Some of you shaking your head, yes. All I got is this one old dirty dress, and I have to wear it wherever I go. I wear it to the grocery store, I wear it to take care of kids, I wear it everywhere I go, because I only have one dress. And everybody I see over there has a different dress on every time I see them. I'm not picking on the ladies. The men are the same. Sister H says the devil's always there to sow his seeds of dissatisfaction with what we have, especially in marriage. And here I thought I'd made Dallas and all my children the highlight of their day. And they had no suspicion of our motives. Why, I've got to get a hold of that scriptwriter. He's got to do a better job, or we'll lose customers like flies if they know that's what we're trying to do. They make the woman ask such questions as, I wonder how life would have been if I'd married Johnny instead of Joe. A couple, he works days and she works nights, and they see each other a few minutes each day. It becomes very difficult to keep the lines of communication open and harmonious. In your frustration, the devil or one of his well-trained agents can tempt you to look around at the grass on the other side of the fence. She's got the pattern just like good old David. He could resist everything but a good-looking woman. And Bathsheba was all that and more too. And David looked around, snuck around, inquired around, and soon found himself sleeping around, didn't he? It's easy to find fault with what you have once you're deceived into thinking you could have done better. Someone said that they deserved each other. You could still do better. Oh, I love that. There's no better method of breaking up than to constantly find fault with what God's given you. Try to make him over in your image. That's one of my favorite tricks. Marry him and make him over. Run a rehash shop. All of you know I go to junk shops, make things over. Take things ugly and make things beautiful. That's what some women try to do with their husbands, and that's what some husbands try to do with their wives. Make them over. Can't be done. If you go public with it, you destroy a lot of people's faith with your hypocrisy. You know, fellow demons, there's nothing I enjoy more than a good fight in the home. But an even better show can be seen in a good fight in the church. I love to urge the contestants on by shouting, sowing new judgments on their intentions, destroying their respect for others and even self-respect. That's the best round of the fight, when they lose their self-respect. When I hate myself, oh boy, then I can really bite other people. There's a good one coming up next week. Why we don't buy front row tickets this time and quit pretending we're not interested in the winners. Brother Jay brings up another point, not J-A-Y, this is another J, single J. The "it isn't fair, I'm picked on, let's get out of here, the devil's on it, it's not fair." God never promised us fairness, did he? And I doubt we know what real fairness is anyway. Sister, I've got that down on my hit list for the enemy too. This sounds like they're going to have a campaign on just one item. I tell my kids the world isn't fair and they're devastated. They ask, how can you stand the way you look, your clothes, your hair, your face, your bod, how can you stand it? Don't you think you deserve better? Say, now that's a good prospect for a salesman, isn't it? He really knows how to hit the point. My reply is, if they have it, they surely deserve it. I would have it if I deserved it. They had to make a lot of sacrifices to get where they are, but it's not fair is the first reaction of somebody who can't get out of a rut. Sister J, poor old me, that must be Satan's most effective weapon to get us on the sick list, out of commission. Even God doesn't care. He doesn't answer my prayers. Not once lately has he ruled in my favor. And I am the devil, and I say, oh joy, oh delight, we've got her going now. Soon she'll be talking about anybody and everybody's attempt to please her in a bad light. Nothing you can do can please this woman. Everybody has to make exceptions for me, or they don't love me anymore. Remember who used that? Honey, you don't love me anymore, do you? And the next thing you know, he had all his hair cut off, and he was weak as we are, wasn't he? Let them do the bending if they really care. I get so depressed. Why can't I see that all life is give and take? How did he deceive me into thinking I'm a poor little old thing? Well, for me, it was a breeze, believe me, once I got you started. Downhill all the way. Brother K, that little old me syndrome, who was the classic in the Bible for that one? Anybody want to answer? Who said, poor little old me, I'm the only one left? And here I sit all crying in my own soup. Who?
Elijah.
Was he right? How wrong was he? 7,000 wrong. And that's about how wrong little old me is too. But he'll never know it, because he'll never let anyone know he's lonely. May the good Lord give us more of his kind, because he's duck soup for my trade. Sister L, we go to work with worldly friends who have no concern with God. Don't care about the Bible. When I told them my husband was going to preach, they were flabbergasted. Your husband preach? They asked, don't you ever like to do other things on Sunday morning and go to church? Now, they're real pros in my book. They want to give you an alternative. Skip out occasionally. Sometimes completely succeed in getting them to forget their commitment. And don't bother about remembering that, reminding them that somebody died just so they could breathe today with hope. Don't do that. Don't ever remind them. All they seem to care about is what they can do that's fun. Whoopee! That's my kind of man. Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow you're going to die anyway. Brother L, some people think they're safe from the devil if they're in church. But I know a case where a devil infiltrated a whole congregation. How'd he do it? Why, he succeeded in developing a generation gap. He pitted the old people against the young people. What a strategy. Good thinking on his part, wasn't it, Bull Moose? Just say, sick 'em, drive the wedge, wait for the split, and sit back and laugh. Old fogies versus young smart alecks. He can set you apart, build an animosity between you, and he's got you. Safe in the church? No, he's there too. If there's one point I want to get across to you this week, and I hope that I have, is that the devil is right here in this congregation, this assembly. In your congregation, in my congregation, in our congregation. He's right there. And he's always busy. He can set you apart from each other just as well in the church as he can in your home. On the street, or at work, or anywhere else. He has no limitations where he can go, does he? Brother M says, I believe the devil goes to church as much as any one of us. Even in Vandalia, Pleasant Hill, Springfield, Oregon, or anywhere else you go, he's there every time the doors are open. Would that our people were there every time the doors were open. We could at least outnumber him, couldn't we? Sister M says the devil helps us in our lack of attention to one another. For example, how do you greet your brother and sister when you come together? How somebody greets me and can keep me in a dither all day, I'm quoting from this sister. How somebody greeted me can keep me awake at night wondering what I did that was wrong. Why didn't they speak to me? I always have a question for people like this. What did they say when you spoke to them? But that's beside the point. I have 8 brothers. I make no bones about it. When I see them, I run up and love their neck, kiss them on the neck or on the cheek, and I don't care who sees me. Because I want them to know that I love them. That's the the way I was taught to show love. Maybe you were taught a different way. But let's show love. This person said we should be happy to see one another and not be afraid to show it. Sister N, he uses our physical, mortal bodies to get us to do his bidding. We have sickness, we have pain, and it hurts. How far can we resist the temptation to resist the pain without abusing the body, the temple of God, the Holy Spirit? We might use the excuse, I'm too tired, when considering doing something for God. Have you ever used that excuse? Have you ever used that reason? I'm too tired. But if the house caught on fire, would you throw water on it? If your house caught on fire, would you throw water on it even if you were tired? Later we find ourselves doing something not for God, but we don't feel bad about it. Do we see that we have deceived ourselves? We really weren't too tired. We just didn't want to do it, did we? Brother O, do you think the devil still afflicts our bodies as he did Job? And someone replied, the Bible doesn't say he don't or won't. Brother P, the devil is crafty enough to change anyone around to be negative, that love holds me and constrains me of thinking about a certain point, growing faster to a different extent, going off on a different tangent from the group's thinking, because I don't want to risk my brother's love. I don't want to risk my brother's love. It's a problem for members who want to grow, but not that fast, or you will strain our relationship. Do you feel that sometimes you want to grow faster than the congregation will allow you to grow? That you will offend somebody? That you can't lead the group into that understanding? Sister O, in regard to the comment about greeting one another, I want you to listen to this because it's a reply to the one who said, I feel hurt when somebody doesn't greet me and I spend the evening wondering why. In regard to the comment about greeting one another, things shouldn't depend on whether someone else is smilingly glad to see you in the morning. Everybody can't catch a smile. Her day shouldn't depend on other people's response to her. She knows she's well-liked. The devil puts doubts in her mind. She doesn't have to say or not say anything. She doesn't have to do or not do anything. She'll be able to give her a smile, some will not. It shouldn't make or not make her day. How many of you agree with that? If I see you in the morning, should my whole day be spoiled because you didn't greet me with love? If you didn't greet me with love, what do I have? I have a responsibility of finding out what's between us or what's on your mind, why you're not thinking. Because if you were thinking and you loved me, you'd greet me with a smile, wouldn't you? Remember Eli sitting in the temple, and here comes this woman in so distraught. She doesn't know what to do with herself. She's pouring out her soul to God. And Eli said, when are you going to quit hitting the bottle? Sometimes we're almost that crude. We expect people to respond with joy and delight every time we see them. Well, sometimes our life isn't full of joy and delight. Sometimes we're sad. But we could share that sadness, couldn't we? Then we would understand one another. But Brother Q says, everybody's not as tough as you. Sister O says, but you got to be tough in this world. And Brother Q says, but I have the same problems and the same feelings. And Brother R says Sister O is not as tough as she'd like to let on. Brother S says, we all three have a common problem, a lack of confidence and assurance in ourselves. And sometimes we need to have our little ego fed. If you have self-confidence, you're sure of yourself. It really doesn't matter whether they like you or not. Nothing upsets me like a man in the enemy's ranks who knows his strengths and depends on his leader. He has the courage of a David who faces our champion Goliath. He was sure of himself. And what marks a man he was? Only one stone and one shot killed his giant. There's no way we can stand against a guy who has self-confidence and assurance that God is with him. Brother T says, but the devil can make us overconfident. Have you noticed how many times we've named the extremes one way or another? Did you notice the many times that the extremes were named in this discussion when the devil went to church? A middle ground's what we're looking at. If he can get you overconfident saying, I don't need God, I can handle it. If he gets you overconfident, he's got you just as surely as he has who lacks confidence. He doesn't have to get you out of your realm. Just one extreme or the other. On the hilltop or in the valley. If he catches you either place, you're his. Sister P says, Satan often compliments us to get to us. They may be well meant. I really did do a good job. But if I sense it's flattery, it turns me off right now. I don't believe anything they say. It's like a boy I had in class one time who lied to me, lied openly. He knew he was lying, and I knew he was lying. Everybody in the school knew he was lying. After class, I kept him, and I said, Johnny, do you know how many times you have to lie to be a liar? He concluded one time ought to be sufficient, and I said, and you've just done it. And if you do it again, I'm going to conclude you're an habitual liar. I'll put it down as a mistake this time. You can't always tell the difference. The devil can work both ways, depending on your mind. How do you tell the difference between a compliment and flattery? Depends on whether I'm honest with myself. A lot of times, I don't know whether it's true or not. I don't know whether you can always tell. Brother Yu says, if you think I'm flattering you, it's possible. I really think it's true and want to let you know how I feel about it. The devil goes to church. He was there this time. Did you hear him? Did you see him? Were you one of them? You're excused. We're back to the devil's work. Some of you had a little difficulty yesterday telling the difference between the devil and what the scriptures say. That was intentional. There isn't much difference. That's why you have to be alert. To know which one's talking to you, the devil or God or somebody, a representative of either one of them. Because we can be led astray either way. I also wanted you to know that the lesson yesterday afternoon was based on a period of mutual edification that we had at our congregation. I took and lifted all of those people's comments and did what I wanted to do with them. I thought you'd be interested in knowing that because I believe that in a mutual edification situation you have a much richer experience than you do when I get up here and lecture to you. You hear my thoughts, like the woman who, or the man, woman who had a husband who talked a lot. And after he had expounded for about 2 hours, she says, "Well, you know, we know everything he knows, but he doesn't know anything we know." Well, that's the way it is when I'm up here. You get to know a lot of things that I know, but I don't get to know anything you know. So be prepared about tomorrow to be a participant in this class rather than a listener, because we're going to have you up here telling some things that we want you to tell instead of me just telling what I believe. It's difficult for me to do some of these things, but I think we all need to recognize, and the purpose of this class is to get you to recognize, that the devil is here, right here among us. Amen. And we need to see it in ourselves first. If I can see the devil working in my life, it's awful easy to see it in your life. That's the easy part. The hard part is see it in my life. And this is what we're getting at, is the hard part. The hard part is getting to see when the devil is starting to work in my life and I'm allowing him to do it. Because we're told that if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. But if we don't know when he's at working, we don't know when to resist. And so this is the whole purpose of the lessons I've presented, is to make you aware that he is here. And I can see it in every one of you. I can see it in me. And I don't like what I see. One of the most discouraging things, I think, in an early Christian coming into the church are the things that he sees. So this is what we're going to talk about today at the beginning of the class. The devil says, "So your patient has become a Christian." So what? So he became a Christian. Hundreds of adults have become Christians, but hundreds of them have been reclaimed by our agent shortly after they became a Christian. You know, when Jesus was born, one of the first things that happened was that the devil was out to get him, wasn't he? Before he could even walk alone, probably, the devil had schemes to destroy him. And he used those schemes to destroy him. This is why I feel that the church many times fails those who are new Christians. Oh, they need to have somebody hold their hand. They need to have somebody to tell their troubles to. They need to have somebody that's their confidant. They need somebody to tell them this is right and that's wrong, because they don't know. We've heard in the early church how it operated. Why were they so interested in listening to the Apostle Paul the midnight? I want to ask you, if you didn't have your Bible, how many questions would you have about what's right and wrong? When we've got so many, and we do have the Bible.